streaming live, so that should be fine. Okay.
So if it's streaming live, so once it's on YouTube, you can download it from YouTube.
Sounds good.
Okay, I'm going to turn myself off.
All right. Okay. Okay. Looks like it's now 8 o'clock. So we're going to start. So first thing I would like to introduce myself. Hi, I'm Chaim Metzger. I'm the new rabbinic assistant at the Bayit. I'm happy to be able to meet you all. For this year is going to hopefully be interactive. I'd like to thank Rabbi Karapkin for giving this opportunity and allowing me to give a drasha here at least during Esrei Shiva. And I am looking forward to doing this year with everybody. So for this year, it's going to be a different style than people are used to. It's not going to be simply me talking and then everybody else, listening. I'm going to try and do an interactive shiur. I posted in the chat the Makorot, which essentially it's four Brachim in Parashat Bereishit. So if you'd like to download it, you're welcome to. I'm going to post it. I'll keep posting it a couple times until everybody's managed to download it. Or if you have a Tanakh or a Chumash handy, that is great as well. Just I'll be referencing various Pesukim, which will hopefully make it easier for everybody to follow. So because of the nature of this year, it's going to be interactive. I'm going to be asking questions, and then everybody will, hopefully everybody will be able to respond. So I'm going to start with a general introduction, followed by which we will then move on to the act, to the story itself. And hopefully everything will be clear. If there's at any point anybody has any questions, whether it's directly related to what I just said or a thought that popped up relating to the general topic we're talking about, please ask it, because the shiur is not, it's slotted for an hour. I don't have an hour of material. I actually have far less than that. A lot of time has been put aside for questions from the audience or for audience participation. Let's say hello to my parents who are also on the Zoom. Glad to see everybody. So now let's jump right in. So the topic of the shiur, and if you have, I'm posting the link to the file in the core sheet in the drive and on the chat. So feel free to download it. If not, please have a Tanakh with you. So we're going to be discussing Yosef's plan for redemption, orchestrated tshuva. So first we have to establish is what exactly is the backdrop we're talking about, I'm going to hopefully be able to see everybody. Okay. So again, if at any point you have an answer, feel free to turn on your videos, and that way we can see you and see your responses. So a little bit of background. Hopefully this will make sense. So we're right now we're in the middle of Sefer, towards the end of Sefer Bereishit. We've seen Yosef and his issues with his brothers. We saw Yosef being sold by his brothers. We saw their paths diverge. We saw Yosef going down to slavery, then eventually going into jail. He finally rises up as the vizier, second in command to Paro over all of Egypt. On the other hand, we have the rest of the brothers who remained in Israel and seemingly never fully got over what had happened with Yosef, and seemingly went on with their lives, but don't seem to have done anything actually active to have solved that. So that's the background we have, and there's a famine in Israel as well as in Egypt, where unfortunately Israel didn't, people, or as Canaan was at the time, people did not prepare for the famine properly. They're short on food, whereas in Egypt we have Yosef having made an impeccable plan, planned out the entirety to save the entirety of the economy of Egypt. And luckily enough, his plan succeeds, and they have plenty of food not only for Egypt but also for the rest of the surrounding area. So, with his background, everybody, please turn to the very beginning of the Korach sheet. We're in Sefer Bereishit, Perek Membet. We are in Genesis chapter 42, verse 5, plus okay, where we have the sons of Yaakov ben Israel. Right, the 10 of the brothers coming down because of the famine in Egypt. And then we have Yosef, who is the ruler and provider of all the food to everyone in the region. So now Yosef's brothers come before Yosef and bow down, their faces on the floor. Then Vayar Yosef and Achav v'Achirim, Yosef sees his brothers and he recognizes them. Vayitnaker aleihem, so then he acts roughly with them or acts like a stranger to them. And so I'm going to pause and freeze frame right here, and we're going to try and see what is going through Yosef's mind right now. I'm going to need audience participation for this, or it's not going to work. So Yosef, until this point, from his perspective, last thing he knows of his brothers is they had been trying to kill him, throw him in a pit, and then they had sold him off to Egypt and he as a slave. That's what Yosef knows. And then all of a sudden his brothers show up again. The question is, what's going through Yosef's mind right now? So tell me, how's he feeling? If you were in his shoes, what would you want to do next? What would your initial jerk reaction be? If you happen to have seen somebody who tortured you for, you know, when you your childhood, and then had actually sold you into slavery, perhaps even aiming for your death in the process, but what would your reaction be when you finally see them?
Be angry at them.
You'd be angry at them. Okay.
Happy to see him after so long.
Happy to see him after so long. Okay, I'm not sure I'd be happy if it had been, you know, my brothers that I know hate my guts and tried to kill me. So I might be in the more of the angry camp. But it seems like. So, but what else? What else? What would his next step be after his initial reaction of either being happy or being angry? So what would his next reaction be?
Revenge.
Now I can enact my long-term plan of revenge.
Right, revenge. Right, I heard two people. Right, I heard my father say that, and also I think that was it. Adrian said that they would have a revenge plot straight away. Cold hard revenge. That's what we're gonna do. So that was the case. So Yosef would not be considered to be Yosef HaTzadik or anybody we would like whatsoever. He would in fact be viewed as one of the most wicked people in history. But that's not what Yosef does, right? Even though the average person probably would, now once they have the power and they see their tormentor, they immediately torment them, Yosef takes a different path. That's pointed out by the Barbanel. I did not bring it simply because we already discussed this, about Barbanel's approach inside. It would take the entirety of this year. So I'm just going to summarize it for everybody. So Barbanel says that Yosef's goal is he's not quite ready for revenge or anything just yet. What he wants to do is he wants to test the brothers to see, are they deserving of vengeance, or are they deserving of redemption? So that's the question that Barbanel thinks is going through Yosef's mind. Is it time to redeem the brothers or destroy the brothers? And the question will be found out in the story as we go on. Again, I'm going to repost the the Makor sheet in the chat. We're freeze framed at Yosef's meeting his brothers the first time after they sold him, and seeing how he reacts. So right now we think the initial reaction he had, he should be that he would want to do revenge, but it seemingly he does not. Even though he is angry, even though you think he's angry and he would want to revenge, Yosef doesn't go that route. Or at least according to Barbanelli, doesn't. You could read what he's saying as what he's doing as being some sort of revenge, but it's a soft revenge. Or you could say it's a midah k'neged midah revenge, that he's going to put them through the same situations that he went through and see how they'll react. But you could say that's him trying to test them, or he's trying to torture them. Depending on, we'll see how it looks. Everybody, please tell me your opinions on whether or not, on how you vote for what you think Yosef's plan is. Is his plan to try and redeem the brothers by putting them in similar situations and seeing if they'll repent and if they've improved as individuals? Or do you think his plan the whole time is simply to back his brothers, and he's just doing it in a very symbolic manner? Okay, so those are the two ideas I'm putting forth. Somebody has a third idea that thing is going on, what Yosef's plan is. Please throw it out there, and we can try to work that into. Anybody else have a plan that they've read or heard of that they'd like to discuss?
What about killing them with kindness?
Killing them with kindness. So it doesn't appear that's Laya. So I don't think that's what he's doing, because the next word is he speaks with them. With harsh words, they did very tamkasho. He speaks very harshly with them. If he's trying to be super nice and welcoming, he's definitely not doing it right.
He speaks harshly, but his actions are not harsh.
Ah, so you're saying that he's acting for their benefit, even though the onlooker looks like he's being cruel. Okay,
it's a thought.
Good thought. Right, so that he's putting on a front. Really, Yosef wants to help the brothers, but in order for it to work, he has to be cruel. Because there's the question. So why would he need to be cruel? What would the purpose? I'll develop this further. Not to worry. So right. So why is he acting cruel? Why is he putting on this front? And why? So then whether it could be putting on the front to test the brothers. He could be putting on the front because it's his actual feelings, like he hates them, therefore he's acting mean, and he knows that, and he simply wants to do it in the I told you one at the end. He's waiting to slowly torture them and say, by the way, I'm Yosef, right when they're about to break at the very end. Maybe that's where he's going. We'll see which one of these paths he's going. Is he really genuine and wants to help them and just doing it by being cruel? Is he testing them? He's not sure if he wants to punish them yet or not. Or is he... Or is he simply trying to help them, and he knows, and he thinks the best way to do so is by being mean? Okay, so those are our potential ideas right now, before we even got to the first words out of Yosef's mouth. Okay, basically we have Yosef's face twisted in a scowl as he's talking to his brothers. So, and we see, and so what are the first words out of his mouth? Ayin batam, where have you come from? So, and he's saying this in a harsh tone, and then they answer the brothers saying, "We came from Canaan to get some food." That word, verse 8, it repeats again. Vayakar Yosef adachav v'hem lo hikiruhu. Yosef recognizes his brothers, but they don't recognize it. But clearly, something's going on in Yosef's mind. But again, what it is, we're still not sure. So now here's some more details as to what's going on in Yosef's brain. Yizkor Yosef adachalamot asher chalam lahem. Remembers the dreams. So what does that? So what does that mean by remembering the dreams? So what are some options? So if there's no volunteer, oh yeah, Elaine.
He wants the dreams to come true, like if the brothers bowed down to him. So maybe he feels that he has to make it in a way that the dreams will come true, that the brothers will bow down to him.
Right, maybe he thinks, well, I fulfilled, he, right now he fulfilled the first dream of having all the brothers bow down. Maybe his ultimate goal is, let's get all 11 stars, meaning all of his brothers, including Benjamin, and the sun and the moon, meaning let's get his parents down here too. Again, his mother's dead, but again, his father and perhaps his stepmother's down. And let's have everybody bow to me, and that way I'll fulfill the prophecy that I had when I was a youth. And that's my goal, potentially. Maybe he's trying to fulfill it. But why would he want to fulfill that prophecy he had? Do you think there's some benefit to fulfill that prophecy? Or is he simply doing it because he wants to prove that he's right? Then all food for thought. Everybody can decide what they want. If anybody has any other thoughts on the topic, please chime in, cut me off, please. Okay? So now, so Yosef has all this going through his mind. He remembers his dreams from before. He remembers his youth. Then what is his next step? So until now, we could have said maybe he was just like, standard mean or standard, gruff approach. Perhaps as is mentioned by the Ramban and others, that is so they wouldn't recognize who he was. So he's instead putting on a front so they don't know, so they don't recognize him. But why is the next words out of his mouth? Meraglimatem, you are spies. You came to spy the land. So is he simply trying to hide his identity? Well, he succeeded, but he's also put him in a very disadvantageous position. So why would he be pressuring his brothers? He could be pressuring them because he wants to see them squirm. Right? He's enjoying their pain. He could be doing it because he wants to see, because he wants to test them, see how they react under pressure. Will they buckle or will they react positively? Or perhaps simply it's just it's the only way that he can maintain the visage of him being the all-powerful vizier, and if he starts not being cold and calculating, people won't respect him anymore. Those are our potential options, and we'll see which one we like. So then the brothers respond saying, "No, we're brothers. We're all the sons of one man. And the youngest is with their father, and there's another one who's missing." So the Yosef says, "That's a very nice story, but if you want to prove that, then you bring him here. This will be your test." So as far as if we're trying to support a Barbanel slave being a test, Yosef uses the word test. So maybe he's testing them. Or maybe he's simply trying to make sure that everything works out, that his brothers and all brothers and his whole family eventually will come down to Egypt. That's his plan. So then Yosef says, what does he do? He throws them all in jail. Check if they're really going to be true, and he'll say that only let one of you out. As far as Yosef's mean streak goes, it seems like he's being very cruel. He seems like it's very much midah connect midah, measure for measure. Just like he was put in jail, he puts his brothers in jail. Right? Just like he was falsely accused, so too they are falsely accused. Again, why is he doing this? Then everybody keep voting for what you think is the most likely theory. So then we then move on to when they're in jail and their thought processes there. So instead, after 3 days, Yosef gives them another chance. He says, "I'm a God-fearing man. So again, we're in verse 19 now. If you actually are correct, so I'll leave one of you stays here, the rest of you go back and go bring the food, because I'm not a cruel man. And then bring back you the youngest brother, and then it'll verify, and then you won't all die." So then at this point, what happens? Right now we have a little side about the brother's dilemma. So they're currently conversing amongst themselves. They think Yosef doesn't understand because they're speaking in Hebrew, whereas Yosef, presumably being an Egyptian, only speaks Egyptian. What do they say to each other? That they each tell each other, "We are all guilty for what we did to our brother before, that when he was busy begging to us before, we didn't listen. And that's why all these bad things are happening." And then Reuven is the role of being the brother that everybody my brother who's hidden number two, and he says, "I told you so. Hello, Marty Alechem, Lemor, all talking to Bayal. Didn't I tell you don't do this terrible thing? Losh Matam and Gamdu Moin Dani Drash. You didn't listen to me, and now his blood has come due. The blood price is now being requested. So now we're all doomed. So, and then we have verse 23, so they didn't know that Yosef understood everyone's going on here. Now, in terms of saying, what is Yosef's plan? It seems like Yosef's plan is a little monkey wrench, because whether his plan was to fully understand the logic behind the brothers, or it was to make them repent, or was it torture them, what happens is he sees the brothers' reaction here. And if Yosef was simply trying to torture them, it seems like that plan is definitely out the window. What's Yosef's reaction to seeing his brothers regretting and saying, I wish we had done what we'd done before? We're in verse number 24. What does he do? Chime in, verse 24.
He wept.
He cries. So this crying can't be done by a cruel person torturing somebody else. He realizes that that can't be anymore. He can't go through with torturing his brothers. He has to do something else. So, or it could be that finally he gets a true understanding of his brothers and he feels bad. So the question is, if Yosef starts crying now, why does Yosef keep on going? So, anybody have any ideas? Why would Yosef keep on going when he's finally moved to tears by his brothers regretting what they did to him? Why does he keep on going?
Doesn't he want to prove the dreams if the dreams were right?
Right, he wants to prove the dreams are right. So the question is, why is he proving the dreams right? Is he proving the dreams right because he wants to fulfill his test of his brothers? He knows that the best way to test them is by fulfilling the dream. Seeing how not only does he react, but how does Yaakov react? That's why I'm saying, how does Yaakov react? So it's because Yosef's perspective, the question is, why did Yosef never send back word to his family if he's fine with the vizier? So seemingly, maybe Yosef not only gave up on is testing the brothers, maybe he's testing the rest of his extended family too. Maybe he's trying to test Yaakov. Maybe he thinks that Yaakov was in on the sale. Because from Yosef's perspective, his father probably noticed that his brothers hated his guts, because his father's not stupid, right? Because it says that he reprimanded Yosef and that he kept his back of his mind. So clearly he's aware. Yet he sent him to his brothers, and he's immediately sold, and nobody comes to find him. But from Yosef's perspective, maybe the whole family was in on it, and they decided, too much of a problem child, let's get rid of him.
I think also he wanted to see how they treated Binyamin. Didn't he want to see?
Right. So he also, right.
Binyamin.
Right, so maybe it says this isn't enough. Yes, they show some degree of regret, but they didn't fully repent yet, right? Maybe he gave them a chance to do tshuva, a chance to repent, and so far he sees that they regret their actions. In terms of doing tshuva, it's not enough simply to regret your actions. You have to admit it, which they seemingly have done now, albeit not publicly, but they have admitted it, and at least to themselves, and they have to, when the opportunity presents itself again, you have to not stumble the next time. So Yosef needs to keep going because he needs to fulfill the tshuva process for the brothers. Okay, so we'll go with that. Okay, so he's going to try and fulfill the dream, but in doing so, fulfill the whole tshuva process for the brothers. Yes, Mommy.
How can someone else fulfill the tshuva process for you? You have to fulfill the tshuva process for yourself. Was that forced tshuva that he's going to fulfill the tshuva process for someone else? It's your own hakarat hachet, not someone else's hakarat of your chet.
Correct, but he's forcing them into a situation where they can choose. He's putting them at a crossroad. Many people, when you make a sin, you'll never come across the situation ever again. How often do you come into a case where you hate your brother enough to kill him and then attempt to?
Right? That's your brother.
Thank God I have three brothers and I love them all dearly. So I have no idea why they would ever want to kill their sibling. But apparently some people have rockier family situations. Unfortunately, the most common person who will kill you is one of your relatives. That's just the stats. Don't look at me. Anyways, back to our story. So Yosef seemingly is orchestrating these events. He's still in charge. We see some process of him recognizing of what's going on and starting to break down and cry. But when he goes to cry, he goes to a side room, so nobody notices that he's crying. Right? So we said, Vayisov Me'alehem, he turns away and he cries. And he also, when he returns, so that nobody knows that he cried, then he only takes Shimon, fulfilling his word. And not only that, he fills up their bushels with their money as well. So, and this very well could be part of the test. He's testing their honesty. In addition to testing, because before, when they sold him, so the question was, did they sell him simply because of the money? Or were they selling him because, you know, they hated his guts? So we see him now, he's noticed the brothers, you know, regret what they did. But the question is, are they still blinded by greed? And would they do it again, presented the opportunity of selling out their brother? Would they do it? Now Yosef's testing both of those things. He's testing their integrity regarding money. So now we're moving on to chapter 43. So I skipped the part where the brothers looked at the money and realized it and freaked out, but again they couldn't turn around because they were too far on the journey, and they decided that they're going to bring it back on their next trip. And they also decide, we're in chapter 43, verse 15, Pergum Gimel Pasuk Kevav. They bring a gift to give to Yosef in order to, as well as additional money, to try and make things better. And of course, they also are bringing Yemen with them. In order for this to happen, they had to convince Yaakov. Long story, not going to discuss it now. Now, Benjamin is also down with them in Egypt. Now, Yosef is still in charge, and now Yosef sees that they're here, and Benjamin's in tow. So what does Yosef do? He decides, let's have a meal together. So seemingly he's still testing them, still trying to see what's going to happen. So he invites them for lunch, and then when they go there, he says, let's go to his house. So what's the brother's first thought? Is that Yosef's taking us home in order to murder us because, well, we probably deserve it. So they say, no, like, we're not spies. We brought back, we know, like, there was money. We found money. Like, it's not our money. Like, we apologize. Like, it's not us. Right? They're apologizing profusely here. So they think they're going to be arrested and seized, which again, if Yosef had been trying to punish them, that would have been a pretty good way to do so, but that's not what he does. And they go, and they so instead, so now they're afraid of punishment, and they go before the person in charge of Yosef's house, and they say, and they give their story. They say, we came just for food, and then like the money happened to be in our bag. We're so sorry, we brought it back. We don't know who put it there, but we brought double this time. Like we brought you a gift too. Like we're really sorry. So. And then the person in charge says, it's all good. Don't worry. This really must be a God magically gives you the money. I don't know what you're talking about. Don't worry about it. It'll be okay. So now the brothers are still probably pretty freaked out, but at least they know that Yosef doesn't, or sorry, let me rephrase. Embrace. Meaning the ruler, the vizier of Egypt, seemingly, is on their good grace. They're in his good graces, and he wants to be with. And he's doing this meal out of friendship, not out of hate. So they're placated a little bit. So then, what does he do? He gives them food, And then when they start eating, so he asks them, how is your father doing? And he gives them the, right? And then when they say the father's still alive, and they bow, and he sees Binyamin. And now he says, is this really Yaakov's brother? And then during this process, we see what happens to Yosef. We're now in verse number, verse 30, Pasuk Lamed. So what does Yosef do when he finally has all his brothers in front of him, and he realizes that they really brought Binyamin, because for all I know, they could have brought Sandin, because he would have recognized his little brother, because it's been so long. And what is Yosef's reaction in verse 30?
Cried again.
He starts crying again. Right? And where does he go to cry this time? He doesn't just turn away. He goes to a separate room. So, and then, not only that, v'yachat pana v'yitzei v'yitapek. He washes his face and then leaves and then gathers himself and then says it's time to eat. So both before you could say might have been, you know, a single tear, not the way you can simply like, you know, brush it away and come back. Similarly, he was crying himself ragged to the point where he had to wash himself so he wouldn't, you know, be all puffy eyed and be super odd that he simply broke down crying just a moment prior. So seemingly, whatever is going on in Yosef's head, whatever his plan is, it's clearly eating him up inside. So again, I ask, what is his plan? So the potential plan we have is he's either trying to enact revenge on his brothers, which at this point seems a little bit unlikely because, well, if he's trying to enact revenge, he's doing a terrible job of it. And if he's trying to test his brothers, he's doing a great job of it. Because he's putting them into more situations. But the problem is that as he sees his brothers, the way they're acting, and he sees them more and more, he seems to keep being increasingly overcome with emotion. So now we finally get to the part of the meal. So again, they're eating all together. Again, separate from the Egyptians, which stands to the side, is because Egyptians won't eat with anybody else, because Egyptians held a lot of would not break bread with anybody else. But Yosef was, and he manages to seat them all according to their age, which freaks out the brothers. It's Muhan Hashim, right? They're very surprised. And then what does he do? He then gives, when he's giving out the prizes, he's giving Yemen five times as much. And so why would he do that? So seemingly this is all, again, this is to try and says, I'm saying how they react to his, one of the brothers getting more. And seemingly they're unaffected. They're like, okay, Yemen got more, whatever. And they all enjoy the meal. Things are seemingly going great. Yosef's plan's not done. He turns to his steward and he says, "I want you to return the money to their bags, as well as to put the goblet in the bag of the youngest one." So that's what a steward does. So, seemingly, as they leave, they think that everything's good. They had a meal with Yosef. Clearly, he doesn't hate them anymore. So things are going great, right? But no, Yosef, and then sends somebody to chase after them. After having set them up, right? This is a clear setup. So we're saying, in terms of what Yosef's doing for us, whether it be his revenge or his forcing them to try and repent and test them, he's clearly doing it very deliberately. And seemingly it's working, right? Everything's going according to his plan. Just like all of Egypt is playing the palm of his hand in terms of his economic plan, he's doing the same to the brothers now. So, and then what happens when they're confronted? So, right? They say, no, of course not, we didn't do it. We propped the money back last time. Get down in verse 8. Paraphrasing, just trying to make sure that we have enough time to have the discussion. And then, right, so then they say, if what you say is true, whoever it is, he will be so what did this steward say? He said, right, I'm sure that's the case. So they say we'll all be, so the person who does it should be murdered, and the rest of us will be slaves. So the steward, of course, is, you know, seemingly is, if you were, the goal was to torture them, then that would have been a great plan. But instead, you know, what is the plan? The Yosef tells the steward, he tells him, nope, we're only going to take one prisoner. We're not going to take you all. Only the one who actually has it is going to be arrested and be my slave. Lo and behold, they all very quickly unload their satchels. They can say, see, we don't have it. And lo and behold, if they search through all satchels, what do they find? They find the cup. Right? And then it's in Binyamin's bag. And what is the reaction of the brothers? And what would you have expected if the brothers had been terrible people? What would their reaction have been? What would you expect them to do if they hadn't done tshuva, hadn't repented, and actually improved as people from the Yosef story in the chapters ago? What should they do?
Just take them, just to prison, yeah. Not care.
Right. They shouldn't care because. Binyamin did it. It's all his fault. Riddance.
And then they'll be released.
Right, and then we'll be fine. But that's not, what's the reaction instead? Is they rend their garments. And they chase after the Yosef steward right back down to Egypt. I suppose before where, when Yosef disappeared, when Yosef is sold, where are they? Nobody ever comes to look for him. What is their first reaction? To run as fast as they can to try and save their brother. A complete 180 from what they had done prior. So have the brothers seemingly done tshuva at this point? Have they fully repented from their previous mistakes? Seemingly yes. So now we're at this point where the brothers are there.
Question.
Yes.
Okay, question. Okay, so how much of this is tshuva, which I know that's what you're trying to get to. How much of this can be just account of the fact that it's how many years later and there's a maturity process? That when they did this and they threw him into the bar, they were all young. I mean, Yosef is obviously younger, but they were all young and stupid, and oh, they didn't really think of the ramifications, what's going to happen to the father, what's going to happen to them. They were just young and doing something stupid because that's what young people do. And now these are, now they're fathers and they're, you know, older, let's say, you know, they've matured over the years. And they, yes, of course they realized, but there was no way they even thought about the impact when Yosef was younger. They just did it because, oh, let's just get rid of him, he's annoying. And then, uh-oh.
Right, so but is it, even if it's just because they matured, that still is growth. Unfortunately, yes. I'm sure everybody here has met the individual who might be, you know, 40, 50, 60, 70, and still acts like an entitled
youngster.
Right, spoiled brat, no matter the age. Okay, there's no limit on immaturity. You can be immature until, you know, I may have asked him, unfortunately.
Okay.
So, right, so the fact that they matured is good, right? So would you say that it's potentially as full of a tshuva? Perhaps not, because, again, naturally they should have been better, because they're no longer, at the time of the sale, they probably ranged in the age of 18 and 25, and now they are presumably somewhere in their mid-30s, mid-30s to 40s. So definitely better. They definitely have improved. Even if it's just due to basic maturity. So what do they do as soon as they get to Yosef's house? They fall on their faces and they beg. Sannyasa says, what is this? Why are you doing this? Like, why did you steal my goblet? Don't you know that I am able to guess everything? Whether it be through his intellect or through his magic powers. Right? So that's what he's saying. So remember, Yuna says, Mano Mar Minisadak, right? What could we possibly say and what would possibly vindicate us? But rather, what must it be? Halokim Matzah Tavon Avadecha Hinenu Avadim Ladoni Gaman Alnu Gaman Shirim Tag Vibedo. So he says, you're right. Clearly, God caused it to happen. Therefore, we should all be slaves. So then Yosef says, Vayomer Chalila Li Matzot Zot Ha'ish Shirim Tag Vibedo Huye Li Eved Atem Alula Shalom Alvicham. He says, no, actually, you should all go back home. Only one person is going to be punished for the deed. He's alone doing anything wrong. So the question is, why is Yosef sees this potential repentance, why is he still going strong and not letting them, and not giving in yet? Why is he still keeping up the plan? So, right, so one option is that he thinks that the test that he's test isn't finished yet. But there's other possibility. Maybe he has something else in mind, which will hopefully develop more as we see. Maybe it's not just he's testing, maybe it's something else. Revenge seemingly is out the window because, well, the brothers don't seem to deserve it, and it seems like he's having an issue even as what he's doing right now in terms of causing the distress to his brothers. It's clearly eating him up inside, why he keeps breaking down and crying. So then we have Parshat Vayigash. We're in verse 18 now. Of chapter 44, Vaygash Elav Yehuda. So Yehuda approaches Yosef. The Kamar Bi Adoni Deber Na Vechad Davar Bozeh Adoni V'Al Yechar Pachab Avdeh Kamalik Yiparo. So Yehuda says, please don't be angry at us. You're as powerful as Paro. So then he starts giving some background as to what happened, and he says, you know, we have an old father. This is the youngest son. Is that pity? If the youngest son were to die, then our father would be left alone. So then, and if you were to tell me to bring him to, if you were to tell him to bring my, you're the one who told me to bring him here, right? So you're the one who said bring him in here, and we did so. I said, no, we can't, because it'll be too hard for my father. He might die from the anguish. You said, no, if you don't do that, then you're lowering me again. You're all going to starve to death. And again, this starving to death sounds very similar to what may have happened to Yosef when they sold him off to slavery. Maybe he could have starved to death during that. So seemingly, he successfully did his midah, kind of midah test, right? He put him in the place of almost starving. Then when they finally got there, then they tell the story about how Menashe convinced his father. And he said that we must bring him with him. And the father said, no. Don't you remember that my wife only had born me two sons? One of them had disappeared, and behold, he has been eaten alive, and we have not seen him since. But if you take this one as well, then probably our father will end up despairing and being driven to his death. And we know that when Yibam is not there, he will most certainly die, and he will go not only die, he will die painfully. And I guaranteed the life of my brother, saying that if I don't bring him, then I will have been sinned to you every day of my life. And I says, please forgive him and let him go up. There's no way that I can return without him, for I know the bad ending that will definitely occur to my father. So now we see, now we have Yehuda just poured out his soul, saying why he will not give up on Binyamin, and hoping this will convince Yosef. So question is would this have been sufficient for Yosef's purposes, right? Is Yehuda's confession enough? So it was in seemingly, it's of course that he did full tshuva, they protected his brothers, and if you're saying, oh, maybe he thought that his family sold him out, so he realizes that his, but based on Yehuda's story, that he couldn't possibly be lying about the way he's saying it, and how emotional he is while we'll tell you it over. Seemingly that Yaakov and the rest of the family thought that he had been eaten alive, and that's what it was, right? They found his bloodied cloak, and then he must have been surely been eaten by wild animals. So now he no longer has any doubts about having to test his parents or having to test his brothers anymore, because they've proved themselves to be honest and true and have to have grown and no longer being people they used to be. But the only issue is the next words. If Yosef really thought they fulfilled the tshuva process, they really repented and become better people, why do we have the next words? Lo yachol Yosef lihitapek. Yosef was no longer able to hold himself back, right? He'd been mitapek one time before, right? He'd also cried multiple times before. So why this time? Why is he still trying to hold back? A question for everybody. This is a question to the floor. Okay, so for what reason possibly could Yosef be holding back now? As far as we can tell, Yehuda and all the brothers did tshuva as best as they could possibly expect it to do. So why is Yosef still trying to hold back? What could he possibly have? Yeah, Laia?
Maybe he's waiting to see if the change in the leadership of the brothers is permanent. He took Shimon out of the equation, presumably because he was aware that Shimon and Levi were a deadly combination, or at least a violent combination. So he took Shimon as his prisoner. And now, rather than Reuven stepping forward, which is what happened on their previous trip into Egypt, Yehuda seems to be in charge. Maybe he needs to be sure that that's a permanent change, that Yehuda is in fact the cooler head and the one who's running the show. He's the one who takes responsibility and all that. And he wants to know, is this the way it is now?
Okay, so he wants to keep, he hasn't quite finished the test.
Yeah, he's not quite done. He wants to make sure that that he's seeing what he thinks he's seeing.
Okay. That sounds like a good option. Right? So, right, he's kind of fulfilled the test. What we mentioned before, yes?
Oh, maybe simpler than that. Maybe it's that he was holding back because throughout this, he cared. He cared the whole time about his brothers. His brothers like tossed him aside, but he really cared about them. And he's holding back because he really has feeling towards his brothers. And he's, you know, so excited to see them. It's just an emotional reaction. And he wasn't even expecting it. Like he figured, oh, well, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the other thing. And then really he had all these feelings for his brothers who wronged him, even though it's not really wronged him because that's how it had to be. But so there's much more tied up in there other than his orchestration of this tshuva.
Right. So he's so overcome with emotion. So, right, which is very good, which is a good thing because it shows that he cares and he's part of it. So my question, if he had another plan in mind, a more long-term plan, what could it have been? I'm going to fill this one in for everybody. So one option is that he was simply trying to fulfill the dreams, right? His father and mother still hadn't bowed down. The sun and the moon hadn't bowed down to Yosef yet. He thinks he needs to still fulfill the prophecy. The problem with that is that, well, why? Why would you need to fulfill the prophecy? How is that helping? So I'd like to suggest that Yosef's thought for this whole thing is that Yosef, until now, thought that he was beyond redemption. Yosef thought, I was cast aside from my brothers. I don't deserve to be part of the family of Israel anymore. I don't deserve to be there. He thinks that he is the black sheep. Everything would be just fine if not for him. right? He sees that how did the brothers grow without him? They grew into being excellent people. And they're willing to stand up for each other. They're willing to risk life and limb. And all they needed to grow into that was for him not to be there. All that was necessary. So if that's what Yosef has in mind, then maybe Yosef's plan all along is to never let the brothers know who he is. The initial plan may have been, I will never let the brothers know who I am. But not only that, he wasn't only trying to keep the brothers from knowing, he was trying to keep Egyptians from knowing. So why do I think that he had this whole long-term plan in his head and wanted nobody to know that his brothers were his brothers? But if you look at when he reveals himself, Yosef, before he breaks down crying, he kicks everybody else out of the room besides his brothers. And then he cries, but all of the Egyptians here, as well as all Beit Paro. Now he says the words, his brothers, Ani Yosef Odevichai, I am Yosef, my father's still alive. And they could not respond because of how scared they were, how bewildered they were. And then he asked them to come closer, Gishuna Eli, Vaigashu, Vayomer, Ani Yosef Lechem, Hashem Mechartem, Tzimitzrayma. Then Yosef goes on to explain how I returned Yosef, you saw me, but don't be sad. Really, this was all God's plan all along. And there's going to be another 5 years of famine, so bring everybody down. I'll take care of you. Don't worry. It'll all work out in the end. So, seemingly, Yosef's plan switched from him being one in this, and from him being the person in the background controlling the strings, to he decides to join again, be with the rest of Bnei Israel. There's only one problem with this. With him joining is that now the brothers are now tied to Yosef. Now Yosef and let's say Yosef's plan would have been to get everybody through safely. Fortunately, Yosef has lost his guiding light of following his dreams, and instead he is following his emotions. As a result of that, he has decided to join up again with brothers, perhaps too early, and he also has stopped his Midaka Midah revenge plan and testing of the brothers. So, and why do I think that everything spiraled out of control for Yosef's plan? Because after this, after he gives him the plan of don't worry, come down, I'll take care of you, is that until now, everything we've heard has been Yosef's plan, bring down our father, and then I'll let you guys settle in Goshen. But instead, what happens is, they have a very emotional reunion, and they all cry on each other's necks. But then what happens is in verse 16, Akol nishma beit paro lemor ba'ochei Yosef, ba'ita b'nei paro b'nei avadav. Then all of a sudden, the voice goes out through all of the house of Paro saying, Yosef's brothers have come, and it looks upon favorably in the eyes of Paro and everyone else. So, and now what happens? That the plan is not what Yosef's plan anymore. Instead, we hear Paro's plan. Paro's plan is, bring everything you have down here. All of you should come down, bring your father down, and even sends people to help bring them down. No longer is this Yosef's plan of I'm going to be supporting behind the scenes and Yosef being the martyr, Yosef being the one who he will take all of the burden because he knows that he did wrong in the first place, it's all his fault. Instead, things are now in the hands of Paro, no longer just Yosef. Why is that? So the question is that a bad thing or is that a good thing? So it's good and bad. So it's good because now it means that Yosef is back to being part of the brothers, and it means that Yosef is not considered to be one of Bnei Israel again. And we do not lose Yosef as being one of the 12 tribes. In fact, is becoming two of the tribes. So, but it's, but what's the problem though? Is that now the brothers are on Paro's radar, as is Yaakov. So instead of them being able, Yosef being able to pull the strings behind the scenes and be able to safely protect them without any risk, unfortunately, now they all have to come down to Egypt in order for them to survive. So I see only 5 minutes left. So I'm going to explain the last implication of this outside, without quoting any verses. So if Yosef's plan had succeeded and he'd been able to, so perhaps he'd have never revealed himself, which would have meant that Yosef would have been able to successfully provide for and guide the brothers as well as the rest of the family into a better future. He made them all do tshuva and repent for their previous misdeeds. And outstandingly, they are all worthy of being the tribes of Bnei Israel. Unfortunately, the number would have excluded Yosef. Also, if he had succeeded, there would have been no Sheba Mitzrayim. There would have been nobody ever being in, there have been none of the slavery in Egypt. That would never have happened. Instead, what happens is that the brothers end up being caught up and Paro sees them, whether they become his supporters of Paro directly or not is clear. For that, hopefully, which you're relating to that and the political climate that led to the Jews being enslaved and later emancipated. I'll give that another point. But it appears that the potential could have been for Yosef to have support everyone from behind the scenes, and they all stayed in Eretz Israel happily ever after. There'd have been 11 tribes, and we'd have gone right into Mother Mashiach. But the problem is, if that had been the case, what would have been wrong? We wouldn't have had Yosef. And in the beginning of things, what did Yosef feel about himself? Yosef thought that he was beyond all hope. He thought that he was the most wicked. It's his fault his brothers hated him. He deserved it. He thought that his only way to repent was to hide behind the scenes and to make sure things work well for his brothers. Dude, he failed to recognize initially, but thankfully, due to having emotions and not being a cold, calculating person, he actually realized that in order for him to properly repent and become the person he needs to be, he needs to be part of the brothers again. He needs to be part of Bnei Israel. He can't simply be the person behind the scenes. He needs to be part of the larger story of the Jewish people. So, yes, Yosef breaks down and he cries. And that leads to slavery, but it's definitely but a couple hundred years of servitude is probably worth it in order to not have a Jewish people that is missing the characters such as Yosef, people who are willing to go above and beyond in order to save their fellow brothers. So that is my idea as to why I think that, again, just to sum up, so we had Yosef's initial, and again, if anybody has any questions, feel free to add that as soon as after the quick summary. So Yosef's initial plan was to test them or to enact revenge, or perhaps fulfill the dreams. In the end, he has becoming overcome with emotions, and his initial plan changes. And he brings them through, he orchestrates the Shuvah process, but then he actually not only brings the brothers closer to God and as well as to each other, he in fact accidentally brings himself back into the picture too, and he redeems himself as well, not just the brothers. It makes his grand scheme go off kilter, but at the end of the day, that is beneficial, because if not, Yosef would never himself have been able to fully be redeemed, and because he tried to redeem others, he himself was redeemed. Okay, so anybody have any questions, thoughts, comments? If you think it's too crazy, let me know. If you feel there's anything left unaddressed, also please chime in.
Thank you very much. That was a really nice share. I enjoyed it very much.
My pleasure.
So we want to welcome Rabbi Metzger to Bayit. I'm looking forward to many more shiurim with him. And I hope your parents can come and we can see them in person in Thornhill. They'll come to visit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
It was very inspiring and interesting.
To see you in the morning.
Okay.
Yashikawa, excellent share.
Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure, everybody. So, nobody has any questions? It made sense? Okay. Happy to hear that convince people.
Koyach. Gemar Hatima Tova.
Gemar Hatima Tova.
Bye.
Okay, so you're the host, so you can end the meeting.
Okay, the meeting. Okay, everybody. Okay, again, thank you, Elaine, for all your help with organizing it. I look forward to seeing more share with everybody. Okay, bye.